Friends, I greet you in the name of Jesus, who says to us today, on the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day. Lord, thank you for speaking to us in your word. Help us to listen and hear what you have to say to us and to accept the challenges that you call on our lives. For us to follow in the power of your love. Amen. I was reflecting over coffee just before this service how our lives are so dominated and oriented by time. It wasn't like that during our days in Papua New Guinea. So if you're a person who is constantly looking at your watch, and I am, there it is, always looking at my watch, you're probably going to go through life feeling your time poor. Well, the truth is God has given each and every one of us all the time he wants us to have to do what he wants us to do in this life we have. And it might just be a case of how we manage our time and how we spend our time. And that's all we can do with the time that God gives to us is spend it. We give it away, and today he's challenging us to give it away in love for others. Some wise words once said, there's a time for work, there's a time for love. That leaves no other time, because that middle one should override everything, shouldn't it? Love should dominate everything we do. It was actually the way of Jesus, the life of Jesus, wasn't it? A life of love. Love was his very nature. Love was his work. It's who and what he was about. His time was spent in loving people. Love was always the focus of his life and his ministry. He lived in love while he walked this earth. And even though he was like us, constrained by the powers of time and space, love was his focus. Love compelled Jesus to reach his goal, to press onwards toward Jerusalem. And that's what our gospel reading is all about today. Jesus' love and obedience to the Father, and his love for the world, for you and for me. So Jerusalem remains firmly in the focus of Jesus. Even though he is fully aware that his earthly life is going to end in a very public, a very shameful, a very humiliating, and a very agonizing death on the cross. God's love for the world will win out in God's time. It always does. It always does. Did you notice as you listened to the gospel reading this morning that the Pharisees actually have Jesus back here? That's refreshing, isn't it? They're actually there for him. For once, they want to help Jesus. They're not opposing him. What a welcome change. Now, we know that Jesus actually acknowledged the Pharisees for their authority in interpreting the law. But their very strict views on the laws made them, as religious leaders, place heavy burdens on ordinary people. And this upset Jesus. And he criticized them for doing that, for being so focused on the letter of the law and not living out the spirit of the law, which is the way of love. Not surprisingly, the criticism of Jesus infuriated the Pharisees. It got them upset and offside. But despite this, something leads the Pharisees to come to Jesus and to say, get out of here, leave this place, because Herod wants to kill you. He's been looking for a way, planning for a way, and no wonder he would, because he took his brother's wife. And John the Baptist had some things to say about that and wasn't happy about that. And now Jesus is in the gun too. They saw that he was heading right into the pathway of danger by going to Jerusalem, because Herod had a plan to kill him. Now just look at the response of Jesus. He says to the Pharisees, "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal." So what he's really saying is, Herod, you focus on your job, you mind your own business, and let me do what I'm about. God's love will continue in the life and work of Jesus. That's how he will spend his time. He will never be interrupted, not even by the power and might of someone like Herod. His position will not stop Jesus from being who and what he is, God's love for the world. Because, you know, every earthly power is ruled by God's love at the end of the day. There is no greater, no more transforming, no more wonderful power at work in the world than the power of God's love at work in Jesus. I hope you heard the two images that Jesus uses in his response. Firstly, he calls Herod a fox. Now, we might think, well, that's pretty good, because foxes are sly and cunning and devious. And some people like to be like that in the world, don't they? Some people are just like Herod. That's all he was and what he was about. Everything that was sly and devious and cunning was what Herod was in his life. You know, foxes are predators, and they will look for anything that moves and flies and walks upon the earth, vulnerable birds and animals, to satisfy their bellies and fill the tummies of their den. In the same way, there was nothing that gave Herod more pleasure than to abuse vulnerable people for his own evil and selfish motives. He only used his position and his power to help himself. It was never to help others. Now, contrast this image of a fox with the image that Jesus chooses for himself. How often I have longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Jesus uses the image of a hen, not a rooster, not a bold, cocky, proud rooster strutting around, an aggressive rooster, but a humble, meek, defenseless mother hen who lives only for the well-being of her chicks. Now, you all know that foxes and chickens don't get on together, do they? In fact, there is nothing more than a fox likes than chicken for breakfast, lunch and dinner, and in between too. Foxes will be sure to find any chooks that have been left unattended or unprotected at night, and they will scatter feathers everywhere. Now, some of you have your own stories of maybe having lost chooks that way, or you know stories of friends of yours who've lost chooks in that way. But how many of you have also seen how a hen protects her chicks? Squawking to warn them of any nearby danger, maybe a hawk hovering overhead. The chickens don't sense the danger, but the mother hen knows, fluffs out her wings, and the chicks know what the squawk means, and they come and gather beneath her protection. A hen will always place herself between her chicks and any harm or danger that may come to them. A hen will sacrifice herself to save and to guard the life of her chicks. And this is the picture that Jesus uses of himself. Yes, Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. He has power and authority over all earthly powers and kingdoms. But here Jesus actually uses the picture of a mother hen. A mother hen. A picture that is both feminine and weak, in human terms anyway. But this picture is the power and the wisdom of God's love. Yes, Jesus will even surrender to earthly powers and kingdoms to save and protect his own people. He will complete his mission. That's what he's been sent to do. That's what he's about. He will choose love for the world over and above everything else. But he will do it in God's time. Jesus marched at his own beat. He kept his own time. Yes, he was willing to stand up to Herod if he thought the occasion called for it. And Herod obviously did. That's why he tells him to mind his own business or sends that message. Jesus will do what he is to do in God's own time. But for the very moment, it was not his time. But God's time will come. And that's why his focus continues to be on Jerusalem. He's determined to confront his enemies in that city. The city that kills the prophets. The city that's going to kill the prophet of the prophets, the Lord of the Lords, the King of Kings. The city that will kill him. He knows what will happen and he will bring it to a head. But he will do it in his own time. That's why Jesus doesn't head straight for Jerusalem. He moves around, teaching and preaching, casting out demons, healing people, sharing the wonder and power of God's presence and his love for them, carrying out his ministry, and Jesus will get to Jerusalem in his own good time, God's time. Maybe we can understand that. No one is in a hurry to go to the gallows, are they? But Jesus will get there, for this is God's will for him. But he will do it in God's time. There he will show God's great love for the world. I really love the way John talks about how Jesus gathers the chicks together. He doesn't use that image. He uses the image of a good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And that means he fully understands his people. He knows what it's like for us to be human. But he knows that there are so many who don't know of his love for them. And he's in search for them. And he calls us to be in search for them too. His search will lead him to the cross. That's why his eyes are set firmly on Jerusalem. Jesus explains to his listeners in John's Gospel, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it away from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and to take it up." He lays down his life. That's his personal choice of love for you and me, for the world. No one takes him to the cross. Herod doesn't. Pilate doesn't. Caiaphas can't. They don't have the power and authority. Not even the rowdy mob that cry for Jesus' blood can take him to the cross. No human power or decision has authority to take Jesus to the cross. But God's will, and it does. In love, Jesus goes to the cross because he must reach his goal. His eyes are set on Jerusalem because he is the mother hen who just wants to gather his people together in a loving embrace where they can feel safe and at home, protected. Now we're called to follow Jesus in the way of his love, aren't we? You know that. How will others ever get to know the love of God for them in Jesus unless they experience it through you and me? The Apostle Paul encourages us in this way of love. And he says, let no debt remain outstanding among you, except the continuing debt to love others. For he who loves others has fulfilled the law. And God's law is love. It's what he's about. It's who he is. Jesus modeled the law of love for us to follow. So love is our work. Love is who we are. It's what we're about. In our homes, through our recreation, in our workplaces, in our leisure, whatever we do. Love is our joy because God first loved us. So let's go with Jesus during these days of Lent on our way to Jerusalem and to the cross. And we go in wonder, love, and praise. And let us share with others the love that we have come to know in Jesus and the difference that he makes for us and the hope that we have in him. But let us do it with reverence, gentleness, and respect. God's word is true. Amen. And now, dear friends, may the peace of God keep you safe in Jesus, the power of God's love in him, rule and direct your ways and your life today and tomorrow and forevermore, to his glory.